St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue in our year of Bible adventure in the book of Exodus, Exodus 17 through 20. Of course, the best-selling sort of highlight of this portion of the scripture is the giving of the Ten Commandments. So just want to mention real quick, notice that, I feel like I always say real quick, but then it's never quick. Notice that at the beginning, what are the, at the beginning of the, this section, they prepare themselves, they purify themselves in order to hear the word of the Lord, right? So, the Lord makes a covenant, with them and sort of says like, okay, guys, like you for real, like you really want to have this covenant? You really? And they say, absolutely. Everything the Lord says, we will do. Fantastic. Says, all right, so go get yourself ready. And there are various ways that they go get themselves ready. And Moses, along with some others, go up to Mount Sinai to receive the word of the Lord. Now, first of all, I just want to mention that this is the first time that we see Joshua, who's going to be Moses' right hand and successor. First time we see him, and he gets some love from the Lord, as he should. and then we also see how, I forgot about Jethro. I love this. Jethro is Moses' father-in-law, and Moses' father-in-law comes through and institutes the sort of practice of having judges who sort of help out Moses as he tries to judge the Israelites. They all come to him and they want him to decide little things and big things and everything. I'm in the car. Sorry if it gets a little bit loud. On my way to go see a couple future priests of the church. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Jethro comes along, and one of the things that Jethro coming along tells us is that Zipporah, Moses' wife, is not part of the Exodus. She didn't go to Egypt with him, which is just sort of interesting. So Zipporah was not part of the, you know, crossing of the Red Sea. But then Jethro brings him and sees what he's doing and says, well, he acts as a management consultant. I mean, kind of literally, Jethro acts as a management consultant for Moses and says, what are you doing? You can't do it this way. Now, I just want to mention about that, one of the interesting things. So Jethro is obviously not an Israelite. He's not a Hebrew. He is not a follower of the God of Israel. Remember, he was a Midianite priest. But it's Jethro who comes up with the idea of sort of the judge system, and that there are going to be other judges who sort of help Moses out. I don't know, just kind of like an interesting little fact there. What I take from that is, if you are a person who's trying to make good decisions, you can get ideas for good decisions from all over the place. You know, like there's nothing wrong with sort of looking at you know, secular things or even religious things or even religious things from other traditions. If they have a clever way of doing stuff, then, you know, take it. There's nothing wrong with that. So I always find that sort of interesting. But I've taken a diversion. Back up to Mount Sinai, and the Lord gives all of the commandments. Now, we've talked about, we should talk about the way that, you know, five of the commandments are sort of we call vertical commandments, have to do with the relationship with God. Five of the commandments are sort of horizontal commandments that have to do with the relationship of within a society. Just want to note that the Sabbath gets, which is sort of both, you know, gets instituted here as sort of an important sort of marker of trust. Some of the things are, you know, you can sort of predict, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, don't kill people, you know, don't adultery and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, okay, sure. But this idea of not working on the Sabbath is sort of an interesting like it's not a usual social construction, right? It's not, do not steal. Like, yeah, okay, like there's something that we can sort of get to through natural law or whatever. But this Sabbath thing, and it is a mark of Israel's faithfulness. It's not arbitrary. It's a way of saying, the Lord will provide for you, so you can take a day off. So to speak. I mean, that's one of the things it's about. You can, but it's a, again, another way of sort of saying, you can trust in the Lord. You can and you should trust in the Lord. So that's a good thing. But I actually want to say more about this sort of fascinating response of the Israelites to Moses' sort of like interaction with the clouds and the darkness and like the loud trumpet sound. Moses comes down and they say, they say, hey, listen, we don't really want to talk to God. How about, you go talk to God, you can come back and tell us what happens, but we like th this is a little scary to us. Which is on the one hand fine, and is sort of a natural and understandable and like almost correct respect for the Lord. Now, it didn't come out of some intrinsic piety. It came out of sort of a fear, a fear at the display of God's power and God's holiness. And God's holiness causes them to shrink back because it draws this contrast between God and them that makes them say, whoa, it makes them say, whoa, we are not as they're saying, we are not as holy as God is, and we're afraid of having contact with him. Now, in the year, so Moses is going to and does act as the mediator for them. Fantastic. The thing is, Moses is an imperfect mediator, which is fine. We're all imperfect mediators. So and so much as we are, Moses is going to make a mistake that results in him not being able to enter the promised land. And so fine. However, we have been given a mediator, a perfect mediator, who will stand between us and God, our lack of holiness and God's holiness, in order to bring us safely into his presence. And that mediator is, of course, Jesus. He is the only perfect mediator who can do such a thing. You see, though, the same drawing back from Jesus once in a while in the New Testament. So when Jesus stills the waves, or in the New Testament, sort of, and we've talked about how the waves are sort of this symbol of chaos and evil and darkness and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus is stilling the waves is a sort of a display of his divine power and divine sovereignty over nature. Peter's response is, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man," which is just absolutely fascinating sort of response. He sees the power and the holiness of God. He recognizes who Jesus is, right? Jesus' identity of the Father. And he says, "Go away from me, for I am a sinful man." Now, one of the things that God says in the Old Testament and that Jesus says in the New Testament is, "Be not afraid," right? Sort of, be not afraid. The Lord has brought you into his presence, and sort of in Christ, Christ is taking care of that. How should we say that interaction of holiness and profanity, right? Of sin and perfection. The Lord's taking care of that in Christ. So there you are. But I find it a very telling, a very understandable right? A very human response, and one that, yeah, I don't know, one that makes perfect sense, and sort of is something that we are always trying to balance, and trying to sort of maintain that paradox, which is that fear, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? All who fear the Lord are considered acceptable by him is one of the things that the New Testament says. There is a healthy fear of the Lord. At the same time, the Lord says, be not afraid, right? Be not afraid. Sort of understand who you're dealing with first, and then rejoice in the fact that you have been brought near, that you've been brought close to this holiness and sinlessness and infinitude and perfection. That because that infinitude and perfection and so forth is an infinitude and perfection of love for you. But drawing back from that kind of love is a psychological truth, right? I mean, you can see that just probably in your own life. There is a, well, anyway, you don't need to get into that, but there you are. It's what makes relationships so difficult sometimes. So there you have it. But it's anyway. So it's just a sort of beautiful, have a healthy fear of the Lord. Have a healthy sort of understanding and respect that God is the God of heaven and earth, right? That God is the one who created all things. That God's holiness next to our sinfulness is almost unacceptable. Sort of like it's like morally unacceptable. And also that God has brought us into his family through Jesus Christ. Though we do not deserve this or that, we have nevertheless, because of the mediation of Jesus, been brought into that family. That's a, I don't know how you feel about it. I like, that's a beautiful thing. That's a really fantastic thing. But I don't, and I don't want to leave this particular section without saying something about the beginning of it, which is when Jesus, sorry, when Moses, that's a funny slip, when Moses, when they're at Meribah and Moses gets them water, right? They don't have any water. So Moses gets them water. The people are complaining because there's no water. Again, they're out there in the desert, in the wilderness at least. Probably not a desert with sand, or maybe, I don't know. But out there in the wilderness, they got nothing to drink. They start complaining again. They've got the manna, right? They've got the manna that's still coming down, but they don't have any water, and so they start complaining. That complaining gets called the murmuring at Meribah, the murmuring at Meribah. That complaining, which is the sort of evidence of this lack of trust, after everything that's happened, right? After the out of Egypt, after the manna, after all that, that complaining is called the murmuring at Meribah, and that is why that first generation of Israelites do not get to, this is not where I'm supposed to be. Well, my friends, I am lost somewhere in Exton. I don't know. Maybe no one's gonna get ordained. But that's what I had to say. I was on a roll too. There you are. Happy reading. Happy reading. Let us pray. Oh God, who has caused all, what kind of Starbucks doesn't have parking? I don't know. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. By patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Happy reading. Wish me luck. If this is the last time you hear from me, it's been great. Take care.